This message that we're going to speak on tonight is a command performance. Mike, up in Washington State, asked me the other day on ham radio if I would do a message on heaven, the dimensions and the history of heaven. Now, here's a little book I wrote about 45 years ago. It's called The Doctrines of the Bible. And it's in the web store on sermon audio. And there is a message. Message number 9 is on heaven. And it is a big subject. Does anybody out there not want to go to heaven? Everybody want to go to heaven, don't they? Nobody wants to go to hell. Heaven is the most sought after place. The purchase for us to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ our Savior and Him only. That's it. Now, over on the board over here, there are words. I'm going to read the words to you. Now, the Old English word for heaven is heophen. Heophen. All right? Heophen. And it's a very old English word, and it means heaven. Valhalla, that is the Northern European idea of heaven. Hashemayim is the Hebrew word for heaven. Uranos is the Greek word for heaven. It is called Nirvana. It is called Moksha. It is called the Happy Hunting Grounds among the American Indian people. It's called Empyrean. It's called the High Place. It's called Axis Mundi, or the World Tree. It's called Sphagna Lok. It's called Paradise. Called all of these different things, Olympus. Now, the Bible talks about three heavens. The Bible talks about three heavens. Genesis 1 and 1, and I'll read that to you or quote it to you from Hebrew. Barashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim we et haaretz. That says, in beginnings, and that beginnings there is plural, and I could get that Gesenius Hebrew grammar and tell you that. The lexicons don't decline it correctly because they forgot about the old Hebrew plural, which only can be learned from the grammars. In beginnings, or in one of the beginnings, He had created, it says there, third person, masculine, singular, cal, perfect. He had created God, Elohim, et Hashemayim. Et is a sign of direct object in Hebrew, and Hashemayim means the uplifted waters. In other words, our idea of heaven, and the first heaven is the atmosphere. The atmosphere is where the oxygen is and where the clouds is, and the atmosphere where the birds fly, etc. The second heaven, that's the first heaven. Now, the second heaven is where the comets are, where all the planets, all the moons, the cosmos. And above that cosmos is the highest heaven, the third heaven, which is the boat of God. We won't go into anything else about hell or whatever. People always want to go to heaven. Valhalla, in the Northern European, that's where the dead heroes go, in Nordic mythology. The seven heavens of the Jews and the Muslims. We have the Garden of Eden, paradise. The Garden of Eden was a place on the earth. Now let's go back. Let's go back in time. Let's use our dispensational chart here. Back in eternity past, God created angels and spirits. And back in eternity past, God wrote down our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knew us in eternity past. Now, it says that God inhabits eternity. And in eternity, there is a heaven. In eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth, not in time. All this was done in eternity past. In eternity past, God had created, it said He had created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 and 2, it says, We haaretz hathia tohu wavuhu. We hoshu veel panei hamayim. We rua elohim meripacheth el panei hamayim. Then it says, And the earth she had become formless and void. And spirit God suffered over and mourned over the faces of the waters of the deep. And God began to put it back together. In eternity past, Satan, according to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, destroyed the creation of God. Made it a mess. God didn't create it in a chaos. That's a Babylonian idea of creation. But God, in eternity past, created angels and spirits, and the angels and spirits were there when He created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 and 1, Genesis 1 and 2. The Bible talks about three heavens. It talks about the heavens where the birds fly, the atmosphere. It talks about where the stars and the planets are. And it talks about the abode of God. The first place, Hashemayim, the lower heaven, is a breathing space. It's a breathing space. The third heaven is the abode of God. People talk about heaven as the Elysian fields. Talk about it, the land of the beloved. Talk about Zion, Olympus, Valhalla. And a long time ago, they referred to paradise as Abraham's bosom. Now, you go back in time, here, God created the heavens and the earth in eternity past. In space and time, He reconstructed the earth. And He put man on it to rule over it, to watch over it, to bear it the caretaker. And there were two Edens in the Bible, two Edens. Eden means, you remember what Eden means, Sharon?
Fancy.
Delicacies. Delicacies, dainties, like a palace. Dainties or palaces, something very delicate and very beautiful. And the Garden of Eden had to be guarded because Satan had access to it. And he went in there and embodied the Nahash, the serpent. He didn't directly approach mankind, man, but he approached woman. Man's most wonderful companion, and might say even possession. God gave him her to him to nurture and to guard. Through Eve or Hava or Isha, Satan approached the human race. Man sinned. Man sinned and lost his throne room. He lost Eden. Satan was in the first Eden. And that Eden was like a type of heaven or paradise. It was paradise. It was paradise lost. Paradiso. Paradise, paradise comes from the old Persian language. It goes into the Hebrew language as paradise. It goes into the Greek language, paradiso. It goes into the English language, paradis. And it means a guarded pleasure park. It's called, the Jews refer to it as New Jerusalem. Sometimes people call heaven New Jerusalem, Abraham's bosom. New Jerusalem inhabits heaven. New Jerusalem is not heaven. Abraham's bosom was paradise, but it is not heaven. Now, when God put man upon the earth, he sinned. And in Genesis 3:15, God promised mankind a Savior. And the Savior would come through the seed of the woman, not the seed of man. The seed of the woman, because the woman, if she would conceive of God, her offspring would be sinless because she was taken from man before he sinned. Therefore, woman doesn't, even though women are sinful, they don't have the ability to produce a sinful product, a child. But through the blood of mankind, that's where the sinful product comes from. People have referred to heaven as Galgal. It means rolling clouds or something way up high. They call it the columns of Olympus. But long time ago, all the way from Adam, all the way over here to the cross of Calvary, there was a place that's called Sheol, the place asked about in Hebrew, and the word Hades in the Greek language. Sheol and Hades. Hades means the place not seen. Now we have a description of Hades, the place of torments, and Hades or Sheol, the place of Abraham's bosom or pleasure or paradise at that time. And that's Luke 16th chapter. It talks about both places. One is the place of rest and pleasure and beauty. And the other place is a place of torments. Until Jesus Christ lived the perfect life, until he died on the cross of Calvary, until he went down into Sheol, or Hades, and preached unto those that he had redeemed, and then when he raised them from the dead, or from Sheol, and took them into the third heaven. No one had ever gone actually into the third heaven with God until Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and was raised in the Anastasia, the resurrection. After the resurrection of Christ, when he took all of those to heaven, whether they were resurrected or whatever, he took their souls and spirits to heaven at least, and we know some were raised as what we call the first fruits of the resurrection. Am I helping you understand this a little bit? Now, a child of God, when he died from Adam all the way to the life of Jesus, if he died, he went into Sheol, or Hades, or Abraham's bosom, or paradise there. After Jesus died and raised, everybody from the Apostle Paul to Peter to Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John and etc., by following me, all of them, when they died, they went to the third heaven, Hashemayim, up above. The word Hashemayim, actually, it says, Barashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim. That word Hashemayim there, it means the whole cosmos. Literally, the whole cosmos, all of it, all of the three heavens. The third heaven is the abode of God, and now we know as paradise. Abraham was taken there. Abraham didn't get to go to the third heaven until Jesus took him there after the resurrection. Nor did any other of the Old Testament saints. When a person dies today that is lost, he goes to Sheol still, or Hades still. And Sheol and Hades is a place of torment. Torments, literally. In heaven you have your memory, in Hades you have your memories. Today, when a child of God dies, he goes to the third heaven with God. We have many examples of that. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, I knew a man ago, so many years ago, whether it's dead or alive or whatever, he was caught up to the third heaven. And that's the abode of God. And he saw things that were unspeakable. He saw angels speaking and singing. He heard angel language. He said it wasn't allowed or permitted or lawful for him to tell us everything that he saw there. All the way to the end of the church age, which we live in today, at the end of the church age, there's going to be a rapture. Harpazo, rapere. Rapture. Our word rapture comes from the Latin rapere, which means to snatch up. We get our word rapture from that. Rapture snatches up. Rapture is an eagle and a hawk and etc. Not a buzzard and not a crow or anything like that. It is a hawk-like that has talons that grab the prey and take off with it. The word rapture comes from that word. God snatches up all the saved in the church and takes us up to the third heaven.
All the saved?
All the saved and the church. And the church is the bride. And the bride will have a wedding feast there with her husband in New Jerusalem for 7 years. And the tribulation period takes place on the earth for that 7 years. Then at the end of the tribulation period, we have the resurrection of all the dead here. We know that their souls and spirits were in heaven because the Bible in the book of Revelation tells us that. How long, O Lord, until you take care of this problem? They'll be resurrected there. All the people on the earth, all the lost people on the earth will be slayed by Jesus. All the saved people on earth will get to go into Jerusalem, and there will be at least 144,000 Jews that will go in there. And the center of worship in the earth will be Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem and New Jerusalem are two different places. Jerusalem will actually be there in Jerusalem, in the land of Canaan. And Jerusalem will be the center of world worship. People will go there, and the Jewish people will have the administration of the kingdom of God again on earth. Epites geis, el haaretz. The earthly administration of God's kingdom will be in the hands of the Jews. Probably the resurrected David will be there on his throne in Jerusalem. And his son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, Hashemayim, or Ha. HaMashiach, that is. Jesus HaMashiach. Yahshua HaMashiach. He will be ruling with his bride in heaven. At the end of the kingdom on earth, what we call the millennium, there is a word, milli. Milli is Latin. We got our word thousand from the Latin milli, which and the word in Greek is kilia. Kilia eter. 1,000 years. There will be 1,000-year kingdom on the earth. It's what we call the kingdom. For Christ rules from heaven in New Jerusalem, and his son David on the throne upon the earth. At the end of that time, At the end of that time, we will have a final rebellion. They will have the battle there, the end time battle, the last battle. The Battle of Armageddon will take place over here, and then over there we will have the last battle. In that last battle, all Satan will go out and he will bring all of his forces against God, and God will zap them. And then we'll have a white throne judgment of all of the lost. And all of the lost and the angels and all of that will be judged at that time. And then we'll have the destruction or the purification of this earth. In 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, Revelation 21:1, and 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us that the earth will be, it'll just be purified and just burn up like you purify gold and silver. You heat it up until the dross goes away. Not one man-made object will enter into the new heavens and new earth. Not one man-made object. All we're going to see there in the new heavens and the earth is created by God. In the millennium, I believe there will be still structures on the earth like the great pyramids and different things that will be on the earth. But in the new heavens and new earth, in the last, in the new heavens and new earth, not one evil thing will enter into it. Let's look at that for just a moment. In Revelation, and the 22nd chapter, and he showed me a river, the water of life, clear as crystal, coming down from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. There shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall no longer be any night. They will not have need of the light, for the Lord is the light like the sun, because the Lord himself shall illuminate them, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits and of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly, Jesus said. Blessed is he who heeds the words and the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. He said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of you and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words in this book. Worship God and him only. And he said to me, seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let no one who does wrong still do wrong, and let the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous practice righteousness, and let the one who is holy still keep himself holy, and behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am Alpha and I am Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. And outside of all of this are dogs. Now, this word here really isn't dogs. It's not a canine. This is a male homosexual prostitute. No homosexuals and the sorcerers and immoral persons and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify that these things for the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let who him hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life. Now, Jesus Christ died for all man. His blood is efficacious to save every man upon the earth, but is only efficacious, or it is only, it's sufficient to save every person that's ever been born, but is efficacious only to those that believe. From the holy city and the things which are written in this book, he who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen, come Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all men. That's heaven.
That's wonderful.
That's heaven. In heaven there won't be any tears. It says that Jesus, at the end of this time, shall wipe away every tear from your eye. Every tear singularly. And you'll never cry again. We look upon this and we look upon the place called heaven. And everybody wants to go there. But there's only one key to heaven. And that singular key is the blood of Jesus Christ. How do I get to heaven? First of all, you have to realize that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It also says that, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you believe in your heart that God sent forth his Son, that he died on Calvary, and that he was buried and rose again, and confess with your mouth that you shall be saved. If you believe the gospel, then the gospel is that Jesus Christ came, according to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, that he came according to the Old Testament prophets, that he lived and was born of the right family, that he did his earthly miracles and that proved that he was Messiah, that he died on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, just like the Scripture said he would be, and that he rose again, just like the Scripture said he would be, and that he forever makes intercession at the right hand of God for you and for me. Our Father, I send this message out to honor and glorify you. And Father, thank you for heaven. Thank you. And everyone out there that hears these words can attain heaven by your Son, not by anything that they do, but by believing and trusting in him alone. Father, please forgive me where I fail you, and use this message throughout the world for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray.